To understand, then verse number 10, take a look at it. The Bible says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Understand that while you have these two choices, you don't have these two choices for all of eternity. Every one of us, our time is running out. During this entire message, your time will be running out. Every second that goes by with me speaking, you have that much less time to make your choice. So as we take a look at these two choices, I want us to understand that if this is your life, time's running out. The beginning of our passage, it said this. It said the scoffers will say in the last days, and by the way, I firmly believe we're there, and you hear them saying it. The scoffers will say, well, you know what? Everybody is saying that Jesus is going to come back, and they keep acting like the return of the Lord is imminent. And you know what? I've heard that since I was a kid, and I haven't seen anything change. Oh, governments come and go, elections come and go, and, Pokemon comes and he goes. But anyway, all these things happen, and everything comes and goes, and everything's exactly the same. And the Bible says that when you say that, you are willingly ignorant of a very important story in the scriptures. Because there was a day when everybody said that. There was a preacher. With every preacher, with every story, there is a preacher. In our story, we have a man by the name of Noah. Noah was a preacher. Most people know Noah as a shipbuilder. And they think of him as his ability to build a ship. And the fact that everybody joined his ship. But understand that in the days of Noah, for 120 years, there was a constant warning. Judgment's coming. Over and over again in Noah's day, the throne of mercy was there, and it was visual as they were building the ark. But over and over, every day, young people, Noah was warning, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. You better get on the ark. I'm warning you, judgment's coming. You better get on the ark. There's going to be a massive flood. Rain is going to come down. And there were scoffers in his day too. And they laughed at him and they mocked him and they made fun of him and they said, you're right. At that time, the water had never really rained. It had kind of misted upon the earth. And so they're sitting there and they're going, rain, what is that? Water, what is that? We're not going to get a flood. Are you crazy? It's not going to happen. There's no way. Imagine him doing that for 120 years. Now let me just put that in perspective for you, all right? Teenagers, most of you can't imagine 10 days, all right? You can't even think back that far. But think back to 120 years. All right? Here's what that would be like. Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, would have been preaching in 1896, 120 years ago. That means that they would still be alive today preaching to you and I. Can you imagine the difference? Can you see Spurgeon on his smartphone? How do you do that thing called calling again? When he was alive, there wasn't even a telephone. Think about it. Think about everything that has happened in 120 years. He would have understood this clock, but not a digital one. Think about all of the differences, everything. Think about during Noah's day, what kind of changes must have happened? Not only would there have been somebody for all of that length of time, but you're talking about, and all of the changes that would happen, but we're talking about people had been alive at this point for 800-900 years. Ooh. Just take that one back a little ways. To the 1100s. Wow. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a guy coming in here in a night outfit? You know? He's like, oh, this is what I wore when I was a kid. I'm just wearing the same thing. Like, that's not the outfit of the day going on here. Can you imagine the difference? But understand, with that came a great responsibility. The responsibility of the fact that they would have had a lot of knowledge. There would have been people alive for a long time that could remember what happened to Adam and Eve. They could remember the story of how they were not supposed to partake of the tree of good and evil, and yet they did. They would have remembered what happened to Cain and Abel, and how Cain had an opportunity to offer the right sacrifice, and he didn't. He offered the wrong one. They would have remembered what had happened. They would have seen a lot of things go on. You know, it was in the microphone, just about to take the second one. Second one in the moment. All right, next. They would have figured out. They would have known all of these things in that time. They would have heard the preaching of Noah. They would have known. Parents would have passed on to their grandchildren. Yeah, when I was a kid, I remember the first time I heard Noah preach. I remember he was preaching the same thing. Over and over again. Maybe I can just stay on. I'm so technologically advanced. Forget it. Sorry, I can't stay in one place, and you teens are going to be asleep if I do. All right, pardon my super unprofessionalism here. 120 years. Noah preached. Noah warned them. Time's running out. Time's running out. But if you think about that, if your parents saw Noah as a kid, and let's face it, your parents are ancient, all right? I know. And if your grandparents heard Noah as a kid, and we won't even talk about how ancient they are, and your great-grandparents heard Noah as a kid, and they are, you know, they're gone. I mean, they're way out there. You talk about over the hill. They started on the other one, all right? They're gone. And let's face it, you would be saying, if it hasn't happened yet, it's not going to. And some of you, that's what you think is the truth right now. He's saying, Pastor Parrish, come on. I understand that the Bible was good, you know, 100 years ago, but this is the 2000s for Pete's sake. I mean, we got smartphones. I mean, I got Snapchat. I mean, I got Pokemon Go. I can run over all kinds of people while I'm looking at my phone. It's exciting. I mean, we are very advanced, and we're so much smarter. That can be debated. But anyway, we've gotten so much more intelligent. We've gotten so much smarter. Look at all these things. Pastor Parrish, how in the world can you be foolish enough to still believe this whole judgment and mercy thing? Well, I remind you that that's what they were saying in Noah's day. And they were hollering it out, and they're saying, hey, Noah, I think they told Noah jokes. Knock, knock, who's there? Noah. You know, something like that. All, every Laffy Taffy, every fifth one had something about Noah on that joke right there. You're going, they were making fun of him. They were mocking him. I think little kids, I think teenagers. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, so don't hold me to this. But I think teenagers probably showed up to hear what he had to say and to make fun of him and to laugh at him. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Genesis 6, 7, and 8 that every thought, every imagination of their heart was only evil continually. All they cared about was making fun of God, doing whatever their flesh said, following whatever the world said, living as wicked as they could, and doing whatever they wanted. Nobody could tell them what to do. And Noah warned them. He said, you better repent. One day, an ark, there's going to be coming rain. The animals are going to get on there with me. You better repent. You better get right with God. You better find grace in His sight. And for 120 years, Noah was ignored. For 120 years, nobody believed it would happen. One day, God's throne of mercy for that age, the ark, was built. One day, two by two, the animals came. You know, it's a sad thing that animals are smarter than people so many times. And the animals got on the ark. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 7, after they had come, after about 7 days, these are the exact words of God. The Lord shut him in. Now, I don't know this, but I am a preacher. So I wonder. I wonder if Noah stood there at the opening of the ark and looked out. And I wonder if in his heart he was saying, surely one person will come. Surely one person will come. Remember, Noah got on there with his sons and his daughters. Where were their kids? Surely somebody will have listened. Lord, I preach 120 years. Surely somebody will get on this throne of mercy. But one day, the hourglass was empty. One day, time ran out, and God said, Noah, get out of the way. And he shut the door. And the minute that door was shut, lightning flashed, thunder roared. I don't know if it did or not, but the Bible says the heavens opened. The Bible says the floods from under the earth grew up, rose up, and they began to flood the earth quickly, swiftly, surely. And because they had rejected God's throne of mercy, they were left with only one throne. Judgment. I don't know if some, when the flood started coming, if the realization hit them, I wonder if they began to swim. I wonder if they began to run. Some of them may have tried to climb to the top mountain. Some of them may have come up and banged on the door, and they would have hollered, Noah, Noah, let us in. And if it happened, Noah would have had to holler out from inside, I'm sorry, I can't. God shut the door. There's nothing I can do about it. And they may have run to the highest mountain. They may have gotten up at the highest pinnacle and stood there on the very top and understand that while they were there on the very top, the waters rose over their knees and over their chest and over their head. And before long, they died. If you read it in Genesis chapter 7 and you read in verses 17 to 23, you will find that the destruction was complete. No man, no animal, no plant, nothing lived. The fierce and sudden wrath of God. And God says that when the scoffers today want to say that it's never going to happen, everything's exactly the same as it was, when the teenagers want to listen to your foolish teachers in your public school that want to tell you that evolution is true, and they want to tell you that it really doesn't matter, don't listen to the people preaching the Bible, they don't know the truth, and when they want to holler at that, listen to me, they are the scoffers. They're trying to tell you all things continue as they were, but I'm telling you, they are willingly ignorant of one simple truth. God does what he says he will do, and they are ignorant of one simple story, the flood. And isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? It's all the effects of the flood that they want to use to prove their evolution. They want to tell you, should I do it, teens? I may as well. I don't know if the adults have ever heard it. They want to tell you that once I was a tadpole long and thin. And then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. And then it was this monkey swinging from a tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. That is evolution in a heartbeat. I prefer the song, I'm no kin to a monkey. The monkey's no kin to me. I don't know much about your ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. All evolution is a bunch of pompous pinheads saying, I don't want to believe God. That's all it is. All these idiots today who say, well, I understand that you don't know which bathroom to go to. And you're not sure what you are. And I look at some of them and I understand why they're not sure what everybody else is, because I'm not sure what some of them are. But I'm sorry, when I see all of that, listen, they know. They just refuse to accept the truth of God. Well, that's the testimony of Noah. I want you to consider the tale of this throne of mercy for you this morning. You see, whenever you die, whenever for you time runs out and you pass off this earth, you will have had all the knowledge you needed to get to the throne of mercy. You say, Pastor Parrish, I don't really know about this. I don't know about everything that you say is sin. I submit to you that you're a liar. Because I believe everybody knows. I believe you know that's what's going on in this culture is sin. Hey, listen to me. Let me just ask you a simple question. You can at least acknowledge this. Would you say that this world as a whole is for God or against God? Come on, wake up and answer me. There's no question about that, is it? Why else would they want to remove the Ten Commandments from every public place? Why else? Why is it that if you carry your Bible into public school, they're going to throw a fit? Come on, let's face it. Is it because they're for God or they are against God? There's no question about the sin in this world. Let me ask you, you name your favorite movie star. Don't name them for me, all right? But you sit there and in your mind, you picture your favorite movie star, you picture your favorite sports star, you picture your favorite musician, music artist, if you want to call them that. I won't debate with you, although I would another time. But if you want to pick any one of those, pick and put them in your head, all right? For God or against God. Oh, but Pastor Parrish, they mentioned God one time in this one song. Hello! Do you consider somebody your friend when they never talk about you in a good way? Come on. Let's be honest here. Let's be honest. Now give me the answer. You've got them pictured in your head. You like their Facebook page. You follow them on Snapchat or Instagram or whatever. You see their videos on Facebook Live or Periscope or YouTube Live or whatever. You got them. You follow them. You know what's going on. Now answer me, for God or against God? Be honest. You know it's true, don't you? Sin is rampant in our country. Sin is rampant in your life. Telling a lie, right or wrong? Answer me. Wrong. You know that, don't you? Disobeying your parents, right or wrong? Wrong. Murdering somebody, right or wrong? Stealing, right or wrong? And I could go through every other one of the Ten Commandments. And you know it's wrong. And you know what? The fact that you know all of this stuff speaks to you of God's mercy. It tells you that God has given you the knowledge that you need to throw yourself on His throne of mercy. He's done more than that. He's given you a number of gifts. Romans chapter 1 speaks of the testimony of nature. The Bible says that even people maybe who haven't specifically heard perhaps a gospel presentation, but it says they have the testimony of nature. They know. Listen, now I realize in this day and age there is one thing required on this particular gift of God, all right? At some point, you have to raise your head away from your phone or tablet or whatever and see nature around you, okay? I realize that that does require that. But when you take a look at the clouds and you take a look at the sky, you take a look at the sun, you take a look at the here pretty soon as the trees begin to change color, let me tell you something. Anybody who believes that is an accident, they are a fool and they are willfully rejecting God's gift. God has given you a gift right now of the testimony of nature, and there it is as throne of mercy warning you and telling you, I am who I say I am. God also... I got to remember where all my gifts are up here. God also gives you the testimony of people. Why are you here today? Come on, teens. Most of you didn't drive. How'd you get here? Okay, some of you bus. Others of you, mom and dad, right? Somebody got you here. You know what that is? Listen to me. You know what that is? That is God saying, I love you. Listen to me. All right, this isn't a bombastic message, but you stay with me. That is God saying, I love you. That is God saying, I care about you. He has sent you preachers. He has sent you bus captains. He has sent you bus workers. He has sent you Sunday school teachers. He has sent you parents. He has sent you neighbors. He has sent you friends. He has sent you teenagers who are friends. And all of them, by simply inviting you, hey, we're having this teen friend day. Come out to church. And you're like, good. Hey, they're giving away prizes. Hopefully I'll win 20 bucks. Hopefully I'll get a gift card. Hopefully I'll get a 2-liter. Hey, they're giving away food. Hey, there's going to be a money machine. Oh, I like that idea. I want to get in that. And all of those things, they don't really matter. Listen, God cared enough about you to send somebody into your life and say, come to church and hear the preaching of His word. That is God's gift from the throne of mercy. That is God saying, I love you. Come to me. Repent before time runs out. God gave you another gift. How did you know that lying was wrong? How did you know stealing was wrong? Now, some of it, we live in a culture that's been influenced by the Word of God, although that influence is diminishing. But listen, you've heard it. But Romans chapter 2 talks about this. It talks about the law of God written upon our hearts, our conscience. God helps us to know what is right and wrong. Oh, people can reject and people can believe in evolution and all of these foolish things, but let's be honest. We know better if we're honest. So God's giving you that testimony. God has given you the gift of His Word. Do you realize that Bible that some of you refuse to hold and can't ever remember to bring to church? Do you realize that there have been men and women who have died so that you could have that in your hands? Do you realize there are religions that have tried to stamp it out? One time, I think it was William Tyndale. Somebody came to him and they said, listen, we'll pay you $1 million or buy a million Bibles off of you. And the guy that was doing it, he represented one of the rulers at the time, and somebody told him, and they said, you know that when he buys those, he's going to burn them. He said, yes, I know. But when I get that $1 million or whatever it was, I'm speaking, I don't remember exactly. He said, I'm going to take that, and I'm going to make 6 times that amount and spread them throughout his word. But for those things, many of those men and women, they were burned at the stake. They were killed. They died. Not for Pokemon Go. For that Bible that you despise. For that Bible that you look at as some lame old book and you can't even bear get yourself to open it and read when I'm reading. You can like that or not like it, but I got news for you. The guy who made Pokemon Go is making money off of you. The guy who gave you his word is just giving you a chance. Whether you know him or not, there's someone that convicts you and begins to tell you of your wrongdoing. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And God gives you his Holy Spirit as a gift. The Bible says that when he came in John 16, 8 through 11, that he would convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. And of course, the most important gift, I've not even mentioned, the gift of his son. Jesus endured such pain that we had to invent a new English word, excruciating, to describe the pain of somebody who was crucified. And Jesus went through that for you. And while he was hanging there on the cross, and he had been beaten, and he had been battered, and the crown of thorns was piercing his brow, the nails were in his hand, and he's hanging there, and he had to, when they were on the cross, the only way they could breathe was to pull themselves up, and it would tear the nails in their hands. And when Jesus was on the cross doing that, he raised himself up to get just enough breath to utter these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, you can say what you like, but that's mercy. You say, but wait a minute. If God were coming back, how come he hasn't done it already? Oh, there you are with the scoffers again. Surely he would come back before. No. The Lord, remember what it said in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Let me tell you about his long-suffering to mankind. He gave man a perfect environment where there was no sin, there was no problems, there was none of that. There was no sickness, there were no difficulties, everything was perfect. All they had to do was ignore 2 trees. The utopia society that people believe evolution can bring us to. You know, man had that one time. You know what they did with it? Come on, you know, what happened in the Garden of Eden? They sinned. And they passed that sin on to you and me. And God said, okay, I'll make a way for you to make a sacrifice. And the very first people who had the opportunity to do that sacrifice, Cain and Abel, one of them messed it up. And Cain says, hey, I want you to see my good works. Look at the fruits of my labor. Look how good I am. Instead of offering the sacrifice of the lamb. Later on, we have Noah. Mankind became so evil and rejected everything they knew, and God had to send a flood, but he still had grace on Noah and his family. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Take a look at the rainbow, the very thing the Sodomites want to ruin for us today was not the promise of equality and not the promise of it's okay for you to be gay what? No, it was the promise that God said, I still have mercy. And yet over and over throughout the Old Testament, we find the children of Israel with the opportunity to accept what God has given to them. And time and time again, they rejected it. Finally, it came to a point when God said, I'm sending my son. And his son came to the earth and men rejected him and they put him to the cross. He died, buried. He rose again from the dead. And then God gave us churches and God gave us his word. And down through the ages, we've had all of these things. And here in 2016, we have a history of all of that. And what do you see happening? Get God out of here. We don't want to hear his word. I call that long suffering. Some of you, if just one of your friends were to make one of the statements that you have made about God or you have tolerated somebody else making about God, you would unfriend them on Facebook in a second. That's all the power you've got. God could wipe you out. Time's running out. People say, I don't understand how a loving God could send people to hell. I say, I don't understand how a just God could be so long-suffering and patient with us. Because this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if this were your life, it's nearly out. You know what you have to do to come to the throne of judgment? You know what you've got to do? You've got to reject all God's gifts. Those people invite you to church. Who cares? The Word of God. Who cares? I don't care about any of that. I just want my food. Stop preaching. God offers this gift. Yeah, I know, it's funny. But it's not funny when it's reality. I died for you. I gave my life for you. Oh my blank. Curse his name. I don't want his gifts. Then God has every right to meet you here. You chose it. You forced it. You rejected him. In John 3:18, he said, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Son of God. Fortunately for you, that was not your life. Listen to me. Listen to me. What if it had been? What if it had been? And right now, you would be at God's throne of judgment. You say, but Pastor Parrish, I know what it means to be saved. And if I come to his throne of mercy, you know what that means? That means he's going to want to be Lord of my life. That means he's going to want to tell me, I might have to dress like you. I know that that means that I really should be coming to church a lot more often. And listening to this word, Pastor Parrish, it means I'm not going to get to do all the things I get to do. Well, for those of you who are afraid to call Jesus Lord, allow me to give you one last piece of scripture. The Bible said in Philippians 2 that at the name of Jesus, and there's a very important word that comes next, every Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone. Truth is, you don't have a choice. You really don't. You will one day declare Jesus Lord. You can sit there, boys, girls, you can sit there and you can ignore me and ignore what I've said. And you can say, you know what, Pastor Barris, I'm just not going to do that right now. Listen to me. You have your choice. You declare Jesus Lord now at the throne of mercy, or you wait until you die or until the rapture happens and you declare Jesus Lord at the throne of judgment. With that, you get mercy. With that, you get eternity in heaven forever. With that, you get joy and peace on here. On this earth, and you actually get to live a life and look forward to death. Over here, you will have agony the rest of your life and all of the pains of following the devil and the world and the flesh and the sin. And you will die and go to hell, and you'll have hell on this earth and hell when you eternity when you die. I don't understand it personally. To me, there's no choice. All you got to do is surrender yourself. All you got to do is be willing to say, yes, I admit I'm a sinner. Listen, every single one of you today, this morning, you admitted you were a sinner. Every one of you have lied. Every one of you have stolen or thought about it. Every one of you have disobeyed your parents. Every one of you is guilty of sin. Every one of you, you were born with a sin nature. Every one of you must give account of themselves to God. Every one of you, you don't have a choice. The choice is when. And by that choice, what you get. He went to the cross. He gave you all those gifts. Will you chuck them? Just like I did this morning. Or will you come and say, I want His mercy. Not His judgment. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. You say, well, I'll wait on His judgment. Then I remind you again of verse 10 of our passage. The day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. His judgment will be sudden, it will be swift, and it will be sure. And it'll be saturating. It will destroy everything. How many in here this morning, and this is adults, this is teens, this is everyone here this morning, you say, Pastor Parrish, if I died today, I know 100% for sure if I died today, I would go to heaven. I have repented of my sin. I have asked Christ to save me. I know I've already met Him at the throne of mercy. I will spend eternity in heaven with God. If that is you this morning, I'd ask you to lift up your hand. Just hold it up for a moment. I know for sure if I died today, I'm going to heaven. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now please listen carefully for this next question. Are there any of you in here you would say, Pastor Parrish, I really haven't been taking that throne seriously. I've heard preaching about the gospel and all these things. I've heard about Jesus. But Pastor Parrish, there's never been a time in my life when I came to God and I said, Lord, I am a sinner. And I asked Him to forgive me of his sin and to save me. I asked Him to have mercy upon my soul. You say, Pastor Parrish, I've never done that. And I'm willing to admit that to you this morning. Now listen, don't just do that casually. I'd ask you to raise your hand and admit it to God this morning. It's not for me, it's for God. I've never asked Christ to forgive me of my sin and to save me. Hold it up for a second so that I notice. I see that one there in the middle. Okay, I see one. Are there any other hands? I see another one over here. Anybody else? You say, Pastor Parrish, I've never asked Christ to forgive me of my sin and to save me. Slip your hand up and just acknowledge that. Anyone else? Anybody on the wings? Okay, then in a moment, we're going to stand and the instruments will play. I'd ask two things this morning. If you've never asked Christ to forgive you of your sin and to save you and you want to come and talk to somebody, I'd ask you to come and catch one of these men that are down here. I'd ask counselors to be prepared. And I'd ask you to catch one of these men and just tell them, say, I need to be saved. I'd like to talk to somebody about that. And they'll pair you, a lady with a lady, a man with a man. And you can see what God says about salvation. This morning, you can meet God at His throne of mercy. But let me also say this to you this morning. If you're saved, you're saved and you met God at His throne of mercy, but by refusing to come to church, but by refusing to read His Word, but by refusing to give up things and follow Him wholly, do you realize you're still rejecting the gifts that God has given to you? And maybe this morning you just need to, you say, I'm already saved. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and just kneel here and say, God, forgive me for being unthankful, for not giving my life fully to You. Because you see, after you're saved, you will still face judgment for what you've done. You won't go to hell, but you still will be judged for whether you served Him or not. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we're all going to stand, and the instruments will play, the altar will be open, and you do business with God. Our Father, I pray now You'd have Your way in this invitation. God, I pray that You've used Your message. I pray that You would work in hearts and challenge them, God, with the truth. Lord, if there's one, if there's more here that doesn't know You as Savior, I pray they wouldn't hold back because of friends or because of fear. I pray, dear God, that they would come, and Lord, they place their trust in You this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, and our feet, our heads are bowed, and our eyes are closed. As the instruments play, if God dealt with your heart, you come. If you need to be saved, you come and talk to one of these men. As they play, you come. Some of you raised your hand that you don't know Christ as your Savior. Don't stay in your seat. Don't reject Him any longer. Come, talk to someone. Some of you teens, you've been out of church a lot this summer. Maybe it was your fault and maybe it wasn't. But now the school year has started again. You're back home more often on the weekends. Maybe you need to come and say, God, I've not taken church seriously this summer. Would You help me to become more faithful again? Maybe you need to come and commit that to God. You say, commit to come to church? Absolutely. What if Christ had not committed Himself to the cross? One going out for salvation. Is there another? I know there were a couple more. Another one has come. Is God working on your heart? I don't want to close the invitation if you should come, but I won't let it drag on forever either. Is God working in your heart? There's nobody in this room worth going to hell for. Not one person. If you're nervous, maybe somebody next to you say, hey, would you at least walk up there with me? They'll do it. If they're a good friend, they'll do it. Another's come. Is there anyone else? I know it's a hard-pointed message, and in this day and age, we're not used to hearing the truth so straight at us, except in church. But it's the truth. It's the Word of God, and you'll have to do something about it someday. Why not today? Look this way, just briefly. I'm going to ask Dr. Vogelin to come and close us in prayer. Teenagers here in just a moment, as soon as we've dismissed in prayer, please don't run over anybody on your way out. But if you'll make your way down there, the workers can kind of point you. We're heading to the cafeteria, and we've got a meal for you down there. At that point, if you've got any little tickets, including visitor bringers or tokens or whatever it might be, you come find me when I get down there, and we can take care of those for you. Everyone else, thank you for being in God's house this morning, and don't forget to come back this evening, 5:30.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your tremendous love to us that would, we thank you that for all time, you've been a God of mercy, a God of love, and that even in judging the world through the flood with Noah, you gave many years of warning, and even yet today, for thousands of years, we've known of the gift of your Son and your long-suffering toward us. Ask that we who have experienced your mercy would be faithful to tell others about it. And those here who are yet to surrender to you, to turn from themselves, to trust Christ and beg his forgiveness, his mercy, that they would realize the seriousness of their condition and that they would turn to Christ even today still. We pray that you would be glorified in each of our lives and through what you do in us. And I ask for that you would bless us this afternoon, help us to be able to to come again tonight to your house to hear your word preached. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.